speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 23. It is in the last part of our Lord's ministry, and it's one of the most graphic and searching lessons that He ever preached. As we think about the Lord doing these things, we of course compare them to what men think about our Lord today. Sometimes men don't think that you should call people's names. Sometimes they don't think you should point out those in error. Jesus did. And when one says that, he condemns Christ and the apostles, who indeed all call names and pointed out those of religious error. But read with me from verse 1 of Matthew 23. Then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. All things, therefore, whatsoever they bid you do, these things do and observe, but do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. Yea, they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with their little finger. But all their works they do to be seen of men, for they make broad their phylacteries, and they enlarge the borders of their garments, and they love the chief place at the feast, and the chief seats in the synagogue, and the salutations in the marketplace, and to be called of men Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, even he who is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even the Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled. And whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now that reads through verse 12 of Matthew 23, and this chapter will be our thinking for the day. Very important chapter, because our Lord wants us to know that hypocrites not only will be lost themselves, but they are also going to lose other souls. You know, in Matthew 18, 6 and 7, he said, Whosoever shall cause one of these little ones that believe on me to stumble, it were better for him that a millstone be hung about his neck and that he be sunk in the depth of the sea. That's what hypocrisy does. Pretense. An actor. One who just wants to be seen. One who wants to stand out above all others. One who wants men to follow him rather than to follow the Lord. Now, the Pharisees were of this number. And this discourse, of course, was pronounced in the temple. The Lord wanted all to know about it. He wanted them in the midst of the multitudes to be seen for what they were. Because if the multitudes followed the hypocrites, they then would be lost themselves. So we must be careful that we do not follow one who is a hypocrite. Paul said, of course, in Acts 20, verse 28, To the elders at Ephesus, take heed to yourselves, and unto the flock under which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. For after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. Well, here we find the warning, then, that there may be even those who are in the eldership. Maybe those who are preachers. Maybe those who are leaders in some other way in the congregation who may decide to draw away disciples after themselves. He calls them here hypocrites. He says they're just pretenders. And so because of that, we need to be very careful lest we follow them. Jesus said here, there are those who are called Pharisees and they sit on Moses' seat. That simply means that they have the appearance of speaking for Moses and for his law. They are those who say we are to be heard because we speak the law. Well, he said, wherein they speak the law, you do that. But don't do after their works, for they say and do not. John 1:17 says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And the psalmist said, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and upon his law doth he meditate day and night. Here these people who taught the law were to be heard in that, but not followed in their actions. They say, and they do not. The Pharisees had a small amount of the law, and an awful lot of tradition, and they wanted to walk in those as if they were equal. They thought what they said was equal with the Lord's commands. They thought themselves so great that they would have others to follow them instead of following the law of God, really. But whatsoever they bid you of God's law, you do what that says, but don't follow their example. Yea, he said they bind heavy burdens and hard to be borne. They put them on men's shoulders. They won't do them themselves, but they want others to do them. They want to show how big they are. They want to command others. They want to tell others what to do. They want to show what they have the ability of doing in telling others, but they themselves won't do anything. Well, that's what the Lord is condemning here. He said all their works they have one reason for, and that is to be seen of men. They're much like that woman, perhaps, that I may have told you about before. She always marched in after services started and, of course, made as much to do as she could as she walked all the way from the back, all the way to the front. And so the preacher mentioned to her one day, "Lady, you're disturbing people who are in worship." Oh, she said, "But, preacher, I'm obeying the Lord." He said, "You're obeying the Lord in what way?" She said, "Well, the Bible says, study to show thyself." And she said, "I'm showing myself." Now, there are those who want to just show themselves. And that's what these people did. All their works they do to be seen of men. But, he said, they make broad their phylacterics. In other words, the frontlets of the law written on small pieces of paper or parchment. They want to put those between their eyes. They may want to carry the biggest Bible that anybody has. You know, they want to appear to be something they're not. And so, he said, they also make enlarge the borders of their garment. They had fringe around those garments, and they wanted to make it more fringe to make them appear more righteous. So here we find the reasoning behind what they did. When the Lord saw these hypocrites that had the mask on, he took the mask away. And when he took the mask away, you could see what they were, couldn't you? So let's see some of the things that the Lord said about these people. They love the salutations in the marketplace. They love to be called rabbi. Some people in our own world love to be called doctors of divinity in religious matters. They like to be called teacher, special teacher, one who is above all others. And they, of course, love to be greeted for who they are. No apostle ever wore the word reverend on his name. No apostle ever said, "I am your father," in a spiritual way. No apostle ever said, "I'm Dr. Paul, I'm Dr. Peter," but we have all of these designations today for men who want to up themselves. They want to be above the people. There are some who use even those things in the church that are scriptural to lift themselves above others, to be called of others rabbi or great. And one, he said, is your great one. One is your teacher. You're in God's family. We're brethren. None of us are one above the other. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that's greatest among you is he who's doing the labors, he who's making the sacrifices, he who's helping others. And whosoever would exalt himself shall be humbled. The Lord will see to that. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whosoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. The Lord will see to that too. So, here you have a brand new car, but you find it not working right. After a few years, that car wears down, and so it begins to cough and sputter, and it yanks and it jerks like an old bull at a rodeo. So you take it down to the mechanic, and you say, "You know, I'm having trouble with my car." "Just the thing," he says, "I have to fix it." He returns with not a screwdriver or a pair of pliers or gauges or anything like that, but he has a can of car wax. And so this car that's sputtering and sputtering along and just won't run right, he said, "I know what you need. You need to polish the paint on this." And so he says, "Well, if that's what you think, then go ahead." So he polishes it all up, and sure enough, in about an hour later, that thing sparkles just like it was when it was new. So he says, "I know that must have worked. I'll go out and drive it." Well, he goes and drives it, and you know what? It sputters just like it did before. And so the mechanic says, "Well, I know now what you need. It's not the wax on the outside. You need to put some fender skirts on this. I think it would be good if you put a new roof on your car. That would probably help it to settle down. Or you might put some white wall tires on it." But you know, nothing put the zip back in that car because of what this mechanic was doing. Why not? Well, he's working on the outside. He wasn't working on the inside. He wasn't taking care of the problem. like he should have been. He's taking care of the outward looks. You know, that's what a hypocrite does. Hypocrite takes care of the outward looks. He doesn't care what's on the inside, as long as he looks good on the outside. So he's making a show, actually, like this car. Here's a housewife that's battling depression, and so a fellow said, I don't want to save you from that. You go buy a new dress. Well, that won't stop the depression, will it? Or here's a husband who is really having problems in his marriage, and somebody said, I'll tell you what to do about that. Just bail out. That won't take care of the problem, will it? Here's a dying church who's floundering like a fish on a beach, and somebody said, I don't want to take care of that. Build a new building. That won't take care of it. You build a new building, and soon you have the same old problems in a brand new building. What we need to do is take care of the problems as they appear, don't we? The dress is not going to take care of the housewife. The new car won't come until a man actually fixes the problem. And then again, depression will not disappear, and the husband won't gain any better because of a new wife, because the old habits that he's had that caused the first problem will still be there on the second. What we're talking about then is one who does great harm to the church because he's a hypocrite. He pretends. He puts on. He's not really what he is seen to be. He's one who harms the church like Judas. You know, Judas, he went along with the apostles. You couldn't tell much difference between he and Peter and Paul for a long time. But finally, his true nature came out. And he stole the bag, which he'd been keeping and evidently taking money from. Luke learned later, and he said he was a thief. But he didn't look like a thief when you saw him. But he was a hypocrite. Then there's Ananias and Sapphira. You know, they attended services just like everybody else. Why, they looked so good when they came in together. Look what a fine family they are. But they were lying about their giving. And they were hypocrites. You know, a hypocrite is a double person. He has one outward appearance, and then he has what's really him on the inside. And so here is that which is artificial. He puts on, just like he puts on his clothes, he puts on what he wants you to think about him. And if you could see him on Sunday, you'd wonder if he was the same fellow on Monday, because all that he does is appearance before men. But as I said, that hypocrisy is a mask that he wears to cover up what he really is. And that may be around the Lord's table. They may seem to be very conscious of the Lord's death and suffering for our sins. But really, they're thinking about something else. They're talking about what's going to happen after services. What kind of a picnic will we have today? How will the children be dressed instead of taking of the Lord's Supper in the proper way? There are some who have sung this morning, but they didn't sing praises unto God, I don't suppose. They sang, but they really were just putting on a front. They wanted everybody around them to think they were worshiping, when really they didn't have the idea of praising God in the least, maybe. There are those who will give in a few minutes, but their giving will just be for outward appearances. It's not really from the heart. It's not that which wants to give as they're prospered or give in a generous manner. They're just going to get by. They've got a mask on that doesn't show what their real thoughts are. You see, in prayer, we can be the same. We cannot desire to honor God with all the best ways of humility that we know and reverence that we know. We call God what we want to call Him. We do what we want to do in prayer. But we make people think because of our long prayers that perhaps we're very righteous. Well, that's what Jesus said the hypocrites do. You know, there are four classes of hypocrites, I suppose, if we wanted to divide them. There's first of all the worldly hypocrite. He, of course, he has a form of godliness, but he denies the power of it. In other words, he makes a profession and a pretense of being very religious, but merely it is from worldly considerations. He wants to see his neighbor see him first. He wants his business associates to see him. He wants his friends to see him. But it says here in Matthew 23:5, all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their philatrics and enlarge the borders of their garments. You know, these people think God owes them salvation. They are those who are worldly hypocrites. They want you to see the frontlets in the front of their eyes, and they want you to see the long robe that they are wearing, but they really are just hypocrites. They're there for show. Then there is the legal hypocrite, you know. He fears God's law. And therefore, he's in the church. It's not that he loves the Lord. It's not that he wants to do his will. It's not that he's trying hard to be what he ought to be, but he just knows God's law and he fears it. And so he relinquishes his vicious practices in order that he might merit heaven, while at the same time he has no real love for God. Oh, he has zeal. You can just see his zeal sometimes, just as those in Romans 10. Paul said, "Now, brethren, my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. I bear them record." They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. And they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, there's your legal hypocrite. Then there's the Sunday religious hypocrite. Oh, he'll be here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Not at 9, because that's too early for him. That's Bible study. He doesn't want to overdo it. He doesn't want anybody to think he is that radical that he'd be here for all of the services, just the 10 o'clock service. And here we find a religion that is nothing more than bare conviction of sin. It's Sunday morning AM only. It is that Sunday religious hypocrite who rejoices under the idea that Christ died for him, yet he has nothing to give in return. He really doesn't desire to live a holy life. In Matthew 13 and verse 20, he said, "But he that receiveth the seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and quickly and readily with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root or conviction in himself, but he endureth for a little while. For when tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." He stumbles. He falls. He won't stand. This is the religious Sunday morning hypocrite. And then next of all, the fourth place, there is that enthusiastic hypocrite. Oh, he's evangelistic. He is enthusiastic in a pretense. He wants you to think he's very enthusiastic. He wants you to think that he is just above all insofar as loving the Lord, because look at his efforts. And so he has a pretended sight of his sins and of Christ, but he talks a remarkable impulse of high feelings, and while he lives the most scandalous practices, he can't be trusted. His word is not to be having anything put in it, and if he gets a chance to steal, he steals. And if he gets a chance to commit adultery, he commits adultery. 2 Corinthians 11:14. You know, Paul said, "No marvel, for even Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Well, here we find then, what is a hypocrite? What is hypocrisy, and what does hypocrisy do? Now, Jesus was talking about these Pharisees. You know, they were religious people. In fact, they were the religious elite of their day. And he said they were long on talk and short on action, didn't he? Isn't that what verse 4, 1 through 4 teaches? Long on talk. Boy, they could talk a good religion. They just didn't live it. And so the inconsistency in preaching and practice was found here, wasn't it? Preach a good sermon, just don't practice it. No, don't live the life. And then they wanted to separate just their little crowd. If they helped anybody, it'd be theirs. Nobody else. Nobody else. They can't afford to help anybody but John and his wife, me and my wife, us four and no more. That's it. We're not going to have anything to do with anybody else except our group. We want them in our clique. We want to have them as our people who will follow us. And so they're long on talk, short on action. Second of all, the Lord said they're mote hunters. They can't see the beam in their own eye for the mote that is in the fellow servant's eye. They look for that mote. Matthew 7, 1 through 5, he said, "Judge not that you be not judged, for what judgment you judge, it'll be meted unto you again." But he said, "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye when thou hast a beam in thine own eye? First remove the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to remove the mote out of thy brother's eye." Well, some want to settle all the brotherhood problems, don't they? But they can't see clearly to see their own problems. They want to settle your problems, but they don't want to correct their own, because that beam is in their eye and they can't see past that beam, but they want to correct you anyway. Then again, he said they're outwardly righteous only. They only have an appearance, an outside form. Well, now that's important to have an outside form. It's important to follow what is right and good, but they disregard inward purity. They're not interested in that. Not at all. And both thought and deed, of course, in the sight of God must be pure. Matthew 5:28, he said, "Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery already in his heart." Some falsely teach that to think it is as bad as doing it. That's not so. Now, that wasn't what the Lord said here. The Lord said here, "I want you to be good and right in deed as well as in thought." And so in Colossians 3, he said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him." Whatever you do, whatever you say, be sure it's in harmony with the authority of Christ. So the thought is not as bad as the deed. The thought may be there, and we may overcome the thought and not do the deed. But here Jesus wants the thought and the deed to be pure. So He pronounces these things upon these hypocrites. And this, of course, was the most eloquent, appealing, and terrible of all the discourses our Lord ever gave. And it should be one that we would study closely. Last of the Lord's discourses, summary of all, I suppose. Whatever good they do here, He said, whatever zeal they have, they show that it has but one motive, and that's human applause. They're hypocrites. Woe, He said. What does woe mean? Misery. It means misery and grief and sorrow. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. And He's not mincing words about that, is He? He means it. So, literally, this actor then has his mask taken away. Punishment will come upon you, is what the Lord is saying. And then I notice here in verse 13, He said, "You're not entering in yourself into the kingdom of heaven, and you don't want to suffer others to enter in either." What a sad situation here. Not only were they not entering in, they weren't helping anybody else. In fact, they were standing in their way. So He said, they shut up the kingdom of God against men. Now, that's not literal, but it is meaning that by their teaching, by their example, by their action, they were stopping others from entering in. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Loosed upon earth shall be loosed in heaven." So here's the kingdom compared to a walled city for protection. But they refused to accept the doctrine, and their efforts were to keep others from accepting that which they should have accepted. In Luke 11:52, He said, "You're taking away the key of knowledge. You stole it." Now, when you stand in the way of others doing what's right, you're also stealing the key of knowledge. And so here we find their traditions, delusive errors, always lead men away from God. Taking away the key meant that they took away the power of entrance. A key is that way in which we enter. And so they hindered others. And Jesus said, "You're hypocrites." He took away their mask, didn't He? There may be those this morning here who are not accepting the kingdom of God. They're not going to enter in, but they are not only themselves going to be lost. Those who see them and follow their example will be lost too. What a shame to be one who is only a pretender, a hypocrite, one who doesn't enter in himself, and neither does he let others enter in. He is a hindrance. You know, hinder is a military term. It means to blow up the bridge. And that means to detain another army and to cast a stumbling block in their way. Well, you know, that's the way a lot of people do spiritually. They're not entering in themselves. They remove the key of knowledge that others might have, and they keep others from entering in. What a shame. What a terrible shame. But Jesus wanted you to know, wanted me to know, these are hypocrites. Maybe you're in this audience this morning and you're not a member of the kingdom. Maybe your influence is not what it ought to be. Maybe if the Lord came back today, He'd point His finger straight at you and said, "Thou hypocrite. Not only are you not entering in, you're not allowing others to enter in. You are not teaching what you ought to teach. You're not living what you ought to live. I don't want to be among that number. Do you? Surely not. Why not hear His word today? Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins and confess the precious name of Christ before men. We'll baptize you into Christ upon your confession of faith. And you'll be a Christian. You'll be the right kind of example. You'll be the right person to help others to go to heaven also. And if you've been a Christian and yet you've fallen back into the world, maybe living the life of a hypocrite, just pretending, don't you think it's time you repented and made right that which is wrong? If we may assist you, this is your time. Will you come while together we stand and while we sing?